This is the third in a short series on just being renewed. One of the fundamental things in the Christian life is the reality that we once were not alive in the Spirit, but now we've been made alive through Jesus Christ. A very dear friend of mine that I had spent a lot of time with in my late teenage years and growing up, when Lynn and I were getting married, I asked him if he would be my best man. And he declined. He didn't want to go into a church building. He said, "I don't believe it's possible to turn over a new leaf." And in part, he's right. In Christianity, we're not trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're not trying to turn over a new leaf. We're making a confession that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there is a gift of new life, a renewal that is given to us as a free gift. Where I struggle, and if you were to ask my wife or my kids or anybody that knows me fairly well, I live that out rather imperfectly. And it is just the evidence that even though something has happened in our lives, that there is a regular renewing that needs to take place, that we would become what we've been appointed to become. And so with that thought, we go back to Colossians chapter 3. This is the second half of the message that we started last week. This is part two, and it's the third in the series of being renewed, and next week we'll start the Advent series for Christmas. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, we're going to go right through to the end of verse 17. "If then you have been raised with Christ," we talked about that last week. That's a big F. If you know that you've been accepted Jesus Christ, then there's a response, not just to the gospel, but to the everyday working out of what Jesus is doing in our lives. "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is in Christ, and He's in God. That's a unity that I don't always fully appreciate in my life. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory." Verse 5 is the launch verse for the second half of this message. "Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." It's not like idolatry, it is idolatry. "On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." That's not a popular subject these days, even in a lot of Christian circles, that God will judge. There is a wrath that is coming. Part of the whole idea of salvation is, what are you being saved from? Well, part of it is you're being saved from the wrath of God, the judgment of God. "In these two," not T-W-O, T-O-O, "in these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." That's a key thought. There's a renewing that is supposed to be happening to us on a regular basis, daily, and sometimes more than once a day. "And there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Cilician, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's almost a word for word of Ephesians 5. They are parallel letters. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Last week we looked at the first portion of this, the first four or five verses. Seek the things that are above. That's an active pursuing. Set your minds. There should be a deliberate placing, John, of what you're thinking about, what you're thinking on. Then there's the surrender to Jesus. But you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. John, do you recognize that? Are you seeking to live that way? That Jesus Christ is present in your life. There's times in the busyness of a day we forget that. You know? And in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. He is coming again. And it says you will appear with him. You can't appear with him unless you're with him. So some people say, you know, at the end of time, will the church go through the great tribulation? You don't take I'm speaking to the men. You don't take a bride and leave her on the doorstep for 7 years and beat her before you let her in. Christ paid it all. The tribulation is for those who have rejected Christ, and there's a turning. And we're going to come with him. We looked at a few weeks ago out of Zechariah, and that necessitates that I be with him. This morning, as we look at the last half of this portion, it says put to death. We're going to get to that in just a second. Proverbs 23:7 says, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The old King James words it this way, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I don't know if you've ever been in situations like that where somebody is encouraging you to have something, but you're looking at them and you're thinking, that's a big dude. I hope he doesn't eat too much. My daughter's laughing because she says, not going to happen. He's going to have seconds. Yeah. There are people that will say gracious things, but their heart really isn't in it. Hello? You know, if I were to ask you to pause and write down a couple of names, you probably could. You know? What we do is first established in what we're thinking. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds. We need to be setting my mind, John, on the things that glorify God and raise up other people. It's really easy in the daily course of life to get caught up in the idea of putting people down, but we're supposed to be lifting them up. Amen? Have you ever wondered why change rooms in stores have doors or curtains? You've never wondered that? Why not? What do you mean, pretty obvious? How many have ever tried to put a new garment on without taking the old one off? Yeah. That's what we're talking about today. It says, put to death. Put off. It's hard for me to put the character of Christ on when I'm so busy garmenting myself in myself. And I need to put it off. It's a deliberate act. Colossians 3:10 says, but you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So let's look at this a little bit this morning. I promised a certain individual, Tim will be unnamed in this, that we will try to be a little briefer this morning and not be 12:15. He's here this morning because it's a priority, but he wants to get onto the football game. Yeah. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The word put to death there in the Greek is only used 3 times in the New Testament. It's not the normal word for death. It means to make dead, to put to death, slay, worn out, to deprive of power, destroy the strength of. So it's used 3 times in the New Testament. Here in Colossians 3:5, in Romans 4:19, and in Hebrews 11:12, both of those references refer to Abraham being of an age where in the natural he was too old to procreate. He was 100 when Isaac was born. He was worn out. You know, we're talking about, I think it was with Jordy. We're talking about age, and we're talking about, you know, I don't know what Phil's going to do when he gets older. He's in pretty rough shape already. And I said, in my mind, I think I'm 18. I'll move stuff in the warehouse, and I think I can do it. And I get halfway through, and my body's saying, hey, cut it out. According to my wife, based on humor, I'm 12. And there's some mornings I go to get out of bed, and my body thinks I'm already dead. You know, there's a wearing out. This is not the normal word for death. So when he's saying here in this fifth verse, put to death whatever is earthly in you, he's saying, listen, you need to wear that out. Put it away. Look at the meanings again in just by definition. To slay. I need to slay things in my life. I'm not always successful. I've had some very embarrassing moments in life where I've said inappropriate things. Worn out. To deprive of power. That's a key one. How do I deprive natural inclinations? How do I deprive them of power? I need to have a greater power moving in. And that's part of the whole concept of being renewed. I need to be re-energized in the spirit to overcome the things of the natural and to slay it, to put it to death. And what are some of those things? Sexual immorality. This is not just lust-driven. This is unfaithfulness. I think one of the saddest things about infidelity in a marriage is the unfaithfulness to the partner, to the vow, and to the Lord. You know, my pre-marriage counseling, I never got the chance to do it with these 2 lovely couples here. But my marriage counseling is basically very similar. There's, you know, there's Phil and Brody over here, and then there's their wives, Abigail and Madison over here. And if you're going to grow closer together, you have to have a common objective. There must be one thing in your life that you will not put aside regardless of anything, you know? And as long as you've got the same focal point, as you go up that triangle, you get closer and closer together. And the key thing there is if God's the one thing we're saying, I'm never going to give up on. Now, I'm going to say something here, and it's not an attack on you, okay? I've known some guys that are more, I won't mention my brother, he was more concerned about hunting than he was about it. Cheryl's laughing because she knows it's true. than he was about his spouse. And he's shifted now. He's not moving towards, he's moving away. And he did, yeah. We won't mention the fact that he's had three wives. I've got to come settled in my spirit that there's one thing I'm not going to give up on. And that's the Lord. And as long as I, myself and Lynn, hold that objective, we'll grow closer together. But if I let something else come in, then we can drift apart. So we need to put away that sexual immorality, that unfaithfulness and lustful desires. And impurity. In a moral sense, the impurity of lust, luxurious, or profligate living. And that simply means recklessly extravagant and wasteful. You know? There's a lot of things in life I'd like to have. You know? And I suppose if I didn't tithe, or if I didn't give to Mexico, or if I didn't do these other things, I could get some of those things. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was still at the Bank of Commerce, and I had a real drinking problem. And my senior assistant accountant said to me, he was obviously raised in a church background, because one of the first things he asked me, he said, "So are you tithing?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "How can you afford to do that?" The truth of the matter is this, folks, and I'm not boastful here, I'm just stating the fact. When I quit drinking and I gave tithes to the church, I was up money. I was surprised when I calculated I was spending over 20% of my salary on booze. When I changed my life through the power of Christ, even giving to the church, I was up. You know, I was living a foolishly extravagant and wasteful life. It talks about put away passion. That's inordinate affection. I've had to say to more than one customer that has come in, about a year ago, one of the ladies came in and she was driving a new Ford Ranger. I offered to carry her groceries out, not because I was being a good employee, because I wanted to get a closer look at the truck. And I promised her I wouldn't drool on it. I've always had a problem with vehicles. An inordinate affection towards them. You know? Evil desires. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was on evil continuously. And the idea here is troublesome, injurious, pernicious. That's an interesting word. I had to look it up to get I had a connotation of what the word meant, but I didn't have a denotation, what a dictionary says. And my connotation, what I personally thought it meant as opposed to the denotation, was significantly different. Pernicious is a harmful effect in a gradual, subtle way. It was interesting when I was looking at the definition that the illustration was given the pernicious effect of mass media. And that wasn't no reference to COVID or anything that are happening today. It was just it can produce a slant in our thinking that is inaccurate, destructive, baneful. I had to look that one up too. That's just outrightly baneful. Is just being outrightly destructive. It's not subtle. It gets right in your face. Put those things away. And there's times I feel that way. Go on, have you ever gotten, you know, so ticked you just like to slap them on the back of the head? Or is that just me? Thank you, Jill. That laughter was amen. But if you knew him, you'd want to hit him too. You know? Do I let those things rule? I find there's momentary sparks and I have to put them out. You know? And he goes on, he says in verse 6, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. And I give you the reference to, just look at Ephesians 2, 10, 1 through 10. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, but he's now made you alive. I was dead. I got to quit walking like a dead man. And it's a continuous struggle. And if you know me at all, you know that I fail numerous times. That's okay. I know you too, and you fail too. So, you know, we're in the same boat together, and we're going to get there together. That's my commitment, is that we go together, you know. Then in verse 8, so you got put to death. Now in verse 8, he says, but now you must put them all away. This is the change room. There's things I have to take off to put on something new. You know, it. I have enough trouble with belt size. Why are you guys laughing? Without trying to put a new pair of pants on over the old ones. It's frustrating that the work pants are a size bigger than my blue jeans. I don't know how that happens. I can get away with a 38 in jeans, but when it comes to work pants, I have to wear a 40. Can you imagine what it would be if I was trying to put them on over top of a pair of pants? And there's a lot of times in my life I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to put the character of Christ on over top of this. And it doesn't work very well. He says, you're going to put that away, John. You know? We're going to have lunch with a few people afterwards. Tim's going to leave Darcy high and dry. So I said, you know, we're going to have lunch. Can I get you a burger? She said, oh, I'd like that. You know, I don't want her to go home alone, you know. And, you know, Tim goes off with his friend. You know, and I don't know if they're going to eat at the stadium. But, you know, but you all know my routine here. When we're through and we're going to have lunch, I go change my shirt and tie. Tie's an expensive napkin. And dress shirts are expensive. So I got one shirt that I bring every Sunday so I can change. You know? I got to put off to put on. John, what do you need to put off to put more of Christ on? Okay, now let's look at some of these. But you must put them all away. This is used 8 times in Scripture. It means to put off, lay aside, lay down, cast off, put away, lay apart. And I give you Hebrews 12:1 there. It says, cast off every burden, every weight that holds you back. You know? Believe it or not, I used to run 880. Used to run cross country. And I would never have done it carrying a 50-pound weight. And that's why I don't do it now, because I'm carrying a 50-pound weight. There's things you need to put off, John. Do it. And don't put off putting it off. Did you get that? Don't procrastinate. Do it now, John. Anger. That's violent passion. Vengeance. You know? Has anybody ever done dirt to you? One of the hardest things in congregational life is you're going to get hurt in here. We don't mean to do it deliberately, but we'll do it. If you've never been in offended in church, you're a rare breed. And let me know where that was. I'll go to join there. You know, we hurt one another. We don't, and well, sometimes we mean to. I'm sorry, we do. But, no, it's true. I've been at this for as long as I've been married. I've seen people deliberately get hurt in church. And we need to stop it. In Jesus' name, we need to just stop it. Put it away. Build up, encourage, edify, strengthen. You know, There's enough out there that wants to put you down, you know. I still like that theme song for Cheers. We all need a place where everybody knows your name, where people care for you. And that should be here. So I need to put off anger. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Wrath. This is passion, angry, heat, anger, forthwith boiling up and soon subsiding again. I mean, it's almost like you're bipolar. You're like, and then the nice, you know. I knew a dog like that. Oh, we were with Kim, and Lynn and I went to this place in Cologne, and we were getting, he looked like part pit bull, and I gave him a little pat, and they were going in, and they were looking at some fruit, so I sat down on the retaining wall beside him, and he snapped at me. You know, and Kim's looking, and I pretended nothing happened. You know, grabbed my elbow, didn't break the skin or anything, and then he got up and walked away. You know? Well, that was a good thing, because I was thinking of walking away. You know? Just unpredictable. You know? And there's some people that are like that. They're unpredictable. You know, they'll pat you on the head the one minute, the next minute they're ready to bite your head off. We need to put that away. Malice. Malignant. Ill will. Desire to injure. You know? Slander. I found this one really interesting. In the Greek, it's the same word that we translate blasphemy. Slander is character assassination. If we could murder the person and get away with it, we would. We're doing it with our words. Ripping people apart. Destroying their character. And he says, you need to put that away. Obscene, vile, of little worth or value. Filthy communication, shameful speaking. I have trouble with that one. I like to have fun. I like to kid around. But every once in a while, I feel like I've crossed the line. Hello? Yeah? I like good humor. You know? But sometimes we cross the line. You know? And who can tame the tongue? Well, I can't. You know? I need the Holy Spirit. I need to be renewed there. And it goes on in verse 9. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. A number of times during a devotional, I said, you know, can we be honest? We should never be, especially from the platform, we should never be lying to one another. Good morning. We need to put that away. Okay. And then it says, put on the new self in verse 10. And having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. I can't put on unless I put to death and put off. It just doesn't fit. You know, and the Greeks used to, you know, in the scripture, the word hypocrite was the same word that was used for the Greek actors. They would put a mask on. It was. How many have heard the expression two-faced? That's the origin of it. John, you shouldn't be two-faced. What you see is what you get, and it should be resembling the character of Christ and not the old man. So I've got to put to death and put off. Now I need to deliberately put on something new. Notice the tenses here, please, in verse 10. And have put, you know, let's look at 9 and 10 together. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new. What tense is that? Past tense. When you accepted Jesus Christ, this is what you did. Now wear it. My family will verify. When I get special clothing gifts, I have real trouble wearing them. I have a coat hanging on my valet stand that was given to me years ago. It's a Green Bay Packers jacket. Inordinate passion here. I don't wear it because I don't want to damage it. So for years, it sat on the valet. Periodically, I dust it. You know? I shouldn't treat Christ that way, that I hang him up in the closet. I need to wear him. Are you following me? When I accepted Christ, I put that on. Now I need to regularly wear it. You know? Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. What tense is being renewed? Present. It's being renewed right now. Not has been. It is being renewed. So I need to examine myself on a fairly regular basis and say, what here needs to change, John? You can't tell by looking from where you are. But when I got up this morning, one of the first things I did was I shaved here. You know, it's easier to do when you got a mirror. And I need the Word of God is a mirror that I look in. And I need to see, John, what is it you need to alter? What is it you need to put to death, put off, and what is it you need to put on? And the Word of God and fellowship give me insight as to what it is that I need to change. The Word of God instructs me. And fellowship is where I learn to live it out. I have trouble with people that leave fellowship. Because they're leaving you. They're not being controlled by love. They're being controlled, you know, by a disposition or an attitude. You know, I've seen people, just, you know, just leave a congregation. No valid reason, you know, other than they're ticked off at somebody. That's not love. They haven't put off and put on. Hello? Am I beating the wind or is this accurate? You know, we need to deal with, you know, I need to figure this out. You know, I've been hurt in congregational life, but I stay with the Lord. I've never been seriously hurt here. I look forward to coming here on Sundays. You know? Yeah, I really do. You know? I got up yesterday and I was looking forward to going to work. You know? Terrible confession right now because I knew who I was working with. No, I said, hey, boy, we got a good crew. We had a great day yesterday. Got lots done. We had lots of fun. Tracy kept looking at me saying, oh, sad puns. I said, you sound like my wife. She says, good. Notice that one is an accomplished work. The other is a progressive work. And it's based on the accomplished work that the progressive work can happen. If the accomplished work hasn't been done in me yet, the progressive, you can't, I agree with my friend, you can't turn over a new leaf. But Jesus can make you a new leaf. But now, I have to function in that. Yeah? Verse 10, notice that the way the renewed work is being achieved is by knowledge which is after the image of the Creator. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who needs not be shamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And the importance of being in regular fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. I need the Word to put light on how I'm to live, and I need fellowship as the place I learn to work it out. If I can't work it out, I'm not going to work it out at work or in the world. Hello? The world's unforgiving. You know? If I mess something up and Tim gets hold of me, he's not trying to beat me up. He's trying to assist me. He says, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you were through before 12:15 day. He says, not that I'm going to tell you to do that. I would never do that. No. And he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. Yeah. Now look at the next portion, verse 12. Okay, so you've got, you know, put on the new, which is being renewed. And then verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And then I've got, and I think it's in, I didn't check the bulletin this morning. Yeah, you are, you in capital. Okay, you are, dot, dot, dot. You are what? Well, what does that verse say? You are chosen. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in Christ Jesus. He saw you then. And he knew your decision then. And John, he's known every failing you've had since, and he still hasn't thrown you away. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. I love Romans 8. It begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it ends with, there is therefore now no separation. You are chosen. Not only were you chosen, but get this. He calls you holy. Well, you don't know me very well. You know, I'm not holy. Listen, the Holy One is in you. It's on that basis that he intercedes for you with the Father in 1 John 1 and 2. He makes intercession for us. He's our advocate. That's another word for a barrister or a lawyer. He's, you know, and he says, no, you didn't. It's all on me, Dad. It's not on Phil or John or Wayne. It's on me, the Lord Jesus. And God says, it's a done deal. Because it's on Jesus. That's huge. And why does he hold you there? Because you are beloved. That's huge. And I'm able to put to death, I'm able to put off, I'm able to put on, because I'm loved. The one thing the leadership wanted to be sure of was that these two young couples that just got married would know that they're loved. And love gives a gift. How hard is that? God says, you're beloved. And listen, verse 13. Bearing with one another. That sounds like work. And it is. Sometimes I'm hard to get along with. Ask my wife. That was an amen, folks. Bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. How? As the Lord has forgiven you. So it's optional for you to decide whether you're going to forgive the other person. No, it says, so you must forgive. When I see people leave fellowship because they're ticked off at somebody or something in congregational life, they're not walking in love. You must forgive. Above all these things, put on love. And the word there is agape, the love of God. In the Greek, there's at least three words that are translated love. Eros, from which we get the word erotic. sexual or sensual, filial, philharmonic, Philadelphia. That's just brotherly love, you know. And then there's agape. And it's revealed in the Greek more clearly when you look in at the end of John where Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter answers, yes, Lord, I filial you. And he asks him a second time, do you agape me? And Peter answers, yes, Lord, I filial you. And the third time Jesus says, Peter, do you filial me? And Peter says, you know I filial you. There's times, in all honesty, I don't love Jesus with the love of God. I have a brotherly love for him. I'm appreciative. I want him. I want to be in harmony with him. But you know, I need to move to the next level where I have a divine love for Jesus. He's my all in all. That explains a couple of the choruses we sang. Okay? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's already there. Now you've got to let it. I have to work at not allowing it. I have to hold on to bitterness and anger and frustration and malice and all those things. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And folks, there is an application to studying the word, but it goes beyond that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He dwells in you, the living Word. He wants to break forth. And the conclusion this morning is simple. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through the Father, through Him. Amen? It's a decision. So I need to, there's some things I need to slay, render them powerless. There's some things I need to take off. I need to put on. And I need to walk in love. Tim, we're almost ready. Last hymn. He just gave me the thumbs up.